presenting the 17th story of The Lone Indian. Thrilling stories of the Indian and the pioneer by Robert E. Callahan, National Authority on the American Indian and author of many heart-gripping books. A program to enlighten as well as entertain. Embracing as it does, gripping stories of war and peace, thrilling tales of the Indian and his love for the great outdoors. A vivid portrayal of our first Americans in their dramatic travel toward the land of the setting sun. The drone of the Indians, drums, indicates Mr. Callahan is here to give you another chapter in the life of the lone Indian.
Now, Cola, in last night's story, my friends, we told you how the lone Indian had disguised himself as a sheep herder and later had joined the gambling group in the Spider's Saloon. The Indian had no desire to gamble, but he was playing merely to keep his eye on the movement of the outlaws, six lieutenants of the notorious Spider. Later in the evening, he went upstairs to the bedroom he had engaged. Locking the door, he moved silently over beside the stovepipe vent, through which he could see what was happening below. And hardly had he taken his position when the Spider arrived. He was attired in brown buckskin trousers, fringed and beaded with spiderwebs along the seams, and a red, loose-fitting shirt covered his steel jacket, which encircled his body. He had a spiderweb painted on each cheek and one on each of his bone-handled revolvers, which hung from his beaded belt. Not a single person in the room spoke or moved as the notorious outlaw advanced and took his stand beside the bar, and almost directly beneath the vent through which the Indian was gazing. In the back of the bar, a half-drunken, eccentric cowboy whipped out his gun and leveled it at the heart of the Spider.
I've been waiting 10 years for you.
At once, everybody turned to see the nervous cowboy holding a smoking gun and the Spider glaring at him in contempt. Then the Spider pointed to the bullet on the floor and he laughed. It struck a steel jacket and flattened out like a wad of gum, and the crowd gasped in amazement. The next moment, a ghastly expression spread over the cowboy's face, for the Spider was looking at him. Suddenly, the Spider reached down, quick as a flash, grasped his revolver, tilted it slightly, and he...
Anybody else here want to smell a little powder, eh? You see, sometimes the Spider shoot to cripple, but tonight he shoot to kill. Stick them up, everybody!
The Spider no Indian may come to village.
We won't see him anymore.
But he's coming here tonight. I feel it.
I will take care of the Indian, all right. Get the money.
The Spider want jewelry, too?
Yes, I want the watches, the pocketbook, jewelry, everything. Put him on the bar, Poncho.
Yes, senor.
And as the Spider ordered every man in the room to surrender his gun, and then to come forward and drop all valuables on the counter near where he stood, three of his men sprang from different positions in the room, backs against the wall, guns cocked, eyes full of fire. It was useless for anyone to interfere. The outlaws had the advantage. And within a few minutes, revolvers, purses, small sacks of gold, currency and silver had been piled high up on the barroom counter.
Alonso!
Si, senor!
Gonzalez!
Yes!
Loco, Pedraza, Martinez! Come, we drink on the house.
Let's drink.
Senor, Gonzalez to find white kid. Him on the floor.
Bring white kid to Pancho. Pancho kill him.
Alonso, hey, go out the back door. Gonzalez, you go the front door. Bring the white kid to me. Pancho, you watch everybody.
Pancho hate Indian. Pancho hate white kid. Pancho will kill.
Wait, Pancho. I have a very good plan.
And by now, the gamblers had retired to one corner of the room, hoping no impulsive moments would cause the outlaws to fire at them. In the meanwhile, Alonzo and Gonzalez had dashed from the building in search of the white boy. But the long hand of fate had stretched its fingers into the mountains of Mexico in a strange manner, and Skybird was not to be found. It seems that as the Spider had approached the saloon, Skybird, from where he lay concealed beneath the floor, had seen the Spider show fright when a white cat dashed across the street ahead of him. Then, remembering what the Indian had told him one time about the Apache's superstition, also feeling that he wanted to take part in whatever the Indian did that night, The boy had made friends with that cat. Later, he had heard Pancho and the spider make their boast. So before Alonzo and Gonzalez had gone out of their building, Skybird had crawled out from his concealed position under the house, and he had found a window through which he was lucky to climb, and by more luck, it had taken him into the saloon behind the counter, on which a large slot machine had shielded him from sight. And just about the time Gonzalez and Alonzo re-entered the building, Skybird not only pitched the white cat over the counter and let it race across the room, but he also pulled his slouch hat down over his eyes, and his head appeared above the slot machine. Then, with startling quickness, for a moment, the spider was dazzled. Carrying out the Indian's wishes, Skybird had crippled the four outlaws in their right arms, making them helpless. And their guns had fallen to the floor. In the meanwhile, the final chapter of the spider's episodes in Preacher's Flat was written on the walls of fate. For in some uncanny manner, the Indian had inserted two arrows on the string of his bow. He had pushed the arrows through the stovepipe vent, and he had angled them in such direction as to let them... One arrow caught Alonzo as he came to the rear door, and the other struck Gonzalez as he entered the front door, and both of the outlaws fell in their tracks. The white cat, racing across the room, and the shots coming from an unknown gun, caused the spider to remember the story of the Omaha magic charm. It brought vivid memories of the night he stole the most sacred treasure of the Omahas, and the essentials which had made the theft possible. A white cat, a white dove, a goat, and a white sheep. And as these thoughts flashed through his mind, he became terror-stricken. He would no longer live in Mexico. He would cross the American border. The white cat was bad medicine. It meant trouble. So he dashed to the front door, and he mounted his horse.
Hasta la vista. Adios.
Only Skybird knew who had done the shooting from behind that slot machine that night. And as the wounded outlaws began to pick themselves up, he crawled back through the window. In the meanwhile, the Indian had descended the stairs and had gone out, not stopping to explain who he was, why he came, nor where he was going. Then, seizing Skybird by his arm, he rushed away, going directly to the old sheepherder to whom he had returned the dusty clothes, the checkered suit, the slouch hat. They had caused him to disguise himself. And now, extending a few pieces of gold to the old herder, the Indian quickly thanked him and requested that he say nothing. And then, with upstretched hand, the Indian sent his prayer to the spirit world, turning to Skybird.
Indian must find sacred hour of Omaha's. We follow spider. We go. White papoose, brave boy. Someday, spirit god, find pale face papoose, a white horse. And Skybird will help Indian find magic arrow.
Though the spider had escaped, his band of outlaws were temporarily broken up. And feeling now that justice must finally come, the lone Indian and Skybird resumed their journey afoot. What another day would bring, they did not know. But theirs was implicit faith in God, in truth, and in justice. The spider must lose his power. The magic hour must be found. The sacred treasure must be taken back to the Omahas. This was the spirit of the lone Indian. And my friends, we close the program tonight with a springtime prayer of Tecumseh, the noted Shawnee chief of long ago. Let me live in a home of companionship, a home rich in words of love and truth, a place where no one sighs and no one mourns, a home in which the friendly spirit of life is deep and real, and a friendly home which offers peace of mind, confidence, hope, and health. Such a home is found in the great outdoors, yes, in the mighty forest or in the desert foothills. where one may cook their meals over a simple campfire and sleep beneath the friendly stars. Out where we find days of rest and nights of sweet repose. Yes, in the wide open spaces where the air is pure and the sun is warm, and where we are close to nature and in close communion with God.
Oh, my God.